Welcome. Welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends. Day 1876 in a row of the Mark and Spire show. We're here every single day at 9 a.m. and after 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. This show is sponsored by the Beat Seat, the only drum in the world for guitar players. You can pick one up at beatseat.rocks. The Beat Seat is also an extremely powerful sensory therapy drum. So if you know anybody with a special need, anybody with autism or with Down syndrome, anything like this, please alert them to the Beat Seat. It's going to affect real change in the lives of those with a special need this year. So head to beatseat.rocks and order yours. So today it's President's Day. As you can see, I got Joanne here. She's wheezing right from the top of the show. What we do here is we scroll the news in the mornings together. So if you head over to YouTube, you can see the news stories as we scroll. You could even pop on the chat in YouTube and say, hey, read that one, or don't read that one. In fact, the other day I read a story about like this horrible story about like slugs or something like this. It was disgusting. And it was a funny story, but it was also disgusting. Didn't realize till I was looking at the chat and they're like, no, let's move to the next story, Mark. But today we have a piece of comedy coming at you after the show. Have you guys ever herkle-durkled? Yes, you have. Everybody's herkle-durkled before, guys. That's basically when you wake up and you're just like, I don't feel like getting up. I'm gonna herkle-durkle on my bed. Well, 11 minutes of comedy gold coming at you today about the herkle-durkle. In fact, I wrote the theme song to herkle-durkle. Herkle-durkle, herkle-herkle-durkle. And you got like the sing-along? It's fire. Go check it out. It'll be live in my stream probably in the next couple hours. Probably about 1 o'clock we'll have that going. Helen Gale, how are you? DM Ryan in the house. And I got some fam over here on TikTok. Sam Ray, how are you? DC and Terry, good to see you. Hope you guys will head over to the YouTube channel and watch these stories as they unfold. Speaking of, let me get to a source of news, which I don't know why I always go to Yahoo, but I think it's because they're so bad. It gives us a lot of comedy. So let's get into the Yahoo platform here and see what the heck is going on in the news today. And again, as you guys know, there's no politics on this channel. We're doing our best to stay away from it. Yes, I'm a celebrity impressionist. Yes, I could do both of the guys that are running for president dead on, like hilarious. But people have no ability to laugh anymore. Everyone's so sensitive. You can't make a joke as one or the other. Can't do a celebrity impression of one or the other without pissing off half the country. So I'm over you guys, to be honest. Like, not you personally, but like the world. Not being okay with comedy anymore. So no, we don't do any politics. This is just straight up news about everything else in the world but politics. So if you want to hear my impressions, just ask. I'm going to probably be doing other stuff over here. But anyway, here we go. East breaks 200-point mark. That's because no one plays defense anymore. Let's see if we can get this one up on the screen here. We have Matt Zabrowski. He's here every day with a woo-hoo. I'm not sure if you know that, but now you know. Here we go. News of the day. Joanne, keep the lead. Joanne! Zabrowsk. Zabrowsk, I'm sorry! I'm sorry, Zabrowsk! Joanne just ruined your woo-hoo. You know, Joanne, I'm gonna get rid of you. I just can't. I can't. What a way to start the day, guys. You're trying to get a woo-hoo, and then Joanne hops all over it with her wheeze. So, Joanne, you know. So, let's take a look at the news, guys. Let's see what we got. As you just heard me, the East breaks a 200-point mark in historic NBA All-Star Game. Let's just quickly run through this one because I really don't care, okay? NBA All-Star Game 2024, it's a shooting showcase for MVP Damian Lillard. Tyrese Haliburton, not related to the Haliburton company that owns all the, you know, war paraphernalia. Anyway, Sunday's LA All-Star Game turned into an extension of Saturday's three-point contest. A little resistance hometown all-star Tyrese Haliburton and Damian Lillard put on a show from long distance as the East Conference cruised to a 211-186 win. 211 points in a game, guys. When I used to watch basketball, when people that were really, I guess they wanted it more maybe, I don't know, but Barkley, Jordan, Karl Malone, these guys barely broke 100. Almost every game was like 97 to 86, 99 to 94. It was, you'd see a 101 to 92, you know, but it was almost always south of 100 because the defense was ridiculous. As usual for recent All-Star games, defense was at a premium as the West did a little to keep things competitive after the East opened a 53 to 47 first quarter lead. 53 points first quarter, 47 points. I don't know, guys. I think it's just like a who can score more. I'll just let you do whatever you want, throwing the ball off the backboard. You know, I'm not sure. I just think basketball's crap now. Jordan was my guy. I don't know. You guys tell me what you think about it. Maybe it's still good. Let's see what else we have here. Adele just admitted that she was sulking because the NBA filmed her against her will. As she explained that viral courtside meme. Well, I don't know what you mean against your will. You're in public, you dummy.
I'm Adele. You can't film me. I'm a special one. I could tell you when you could film me when I go into public.
You're from England. You're an idiot. In America, if you're in public, you could be filmed. That lady that's right behind you could walk around with her camera and go, ooh, look, Adele sitting right next to me. You can't do anything about it. You're in America, in public. There is no assumption of privacy in public. You can't. So I guess that's why she's admitted she was sulking. I didn't want them to film me. I told them not to film me. I'm Adele. I can't be filmed. You were filmed. Deal with it, Adele. You know, sulker. I'm going to call her sulker. She's a sulker every time I see her. I don't know. Valerie Bertinelli posts park swimsuit pic to discuss why she doesn't weigh herself. People who cross paths with well-known criminals and victims shared their unsettling encounters. That I'm into. This one I'm into, guys. I want to see what this one has to say. So we recently asked members of the BuzzFeed community to tell us about the time they had met or interacted with someone connected to a well-known crime. Here are the bone-chilling tales. Number one, the Zodiac Killer. My father had his medical practice in the city of Richmond, California, during the 60s and until the day he died in 1982. He truly believed that the Zodiac Killer was a patient. He had the Zodiac Killer for a patient. The patient always made sure he was the last one to be seen. He always talked about the case to my dad, bragged about all his weapons, and even resembled the famous sketch. Now, my dad was a first lieutenant infantry in World War II and did not scare easily, but this man gave him the creeps. My dad eventually sent a copy of this patient's handwriting to the cops, and the guy stopped being treated by my dad. Shortly after that, petty acts of vandalism began to occur around my house. I was around 4 years old when this went down, and after that, my parents would not let me out of the house to play by myself. Wow. This is the original drawing, I guess. October 18th, 1969. Supplementing our bulletin 87 through 69 of October 13th, 1969, additional information has developed. The above amended drawing of murder suspect known as Zodiac. 35 to 45 years old, approximately 5'8", heavy build, short brown hair, possibly a red tint, wears glasses. Armed with a 9mm automatic. Available for comparison, slugs, casings, latents, and handwriting. Let's just see what's different there. His nose, a little different. Lips are a little different. This, he looks like he's menacing. This one looks like he's taking a deuce. You know, it still looks like the same guy to me. I don't see any update. Oh, that's the guy? Hold on. That's him. That could be him. I don't know. Number two. No, this is a different guy. Number two, Dennis Rader. He was I guess, serial killer. I don't know. It doesn't have a name. He wasn't Zodiac. He didn't get a cool name. You just call him serial killer. So Dennis Rader, serial killer. Growing up, I lived next to a kid a few years younger than me. He lived with his dad. He told me that when he was a baby, his mom was found murdered while he was in the house. His dad has always been the top suspect, but they never convicted anyone of the murder. I spent years side-eyeing that man. You know, giving him the side eye. On 1 January, the famous serial killer from my state suddenly resurfaced. The most famous. And how did he do it? He mailed my neighbor's mom He mailed my neighbor's mom's driver's license to our local newspaper. That's how we found out my neighbor was innocent and his wife was murdered by Dennis Rader, aka the BTK. Oh, BTK was a pretty big killer, right? My dad is one of the detectives who caught BTK. He has been on numerous TV talk shows about the case and continues to travel the country discussing it with other law enforcement agencies. Rose West, who knows about Rose West? She looks like a real winner right there. Rose West, serial killer. Not me. But back in the day, my friend's mother was offered a lift from Rose. And she was on her bicycle. If she had accepted, my friend probably wouldn't even exist. I was speechless. Camille Clairol, another serial killer. We got a bunch of serial killers here. I lived a few floors below Camille Clairol. He murdered, oh, it was a guy. Camille, guy, 2024. Just kidding. He murdered a woman who lived on in our building for an apartment and buried her in the train yards not far from us. She was such a nice woman. I watched him throw her things in the dumpster, trying to get rid of the evidence before it was discovered that she was missing. 2 days later, our entire building was taped off and surrounded. His ex-wife and ex-girlfriend were his other victims. The story is awful and hard to believe. He died in prison a couple years ago. You know what they say about karma. Unbelievable. Scummy people. The Branch Davidians, the cult. My cousin in San Antonio had a house that was basically a party house. One of his friends was an EMT, and this friend and his partner would hang out with us while we were on duty. They would get calls to go to car wrecks, etc., and then come back and tell us the gruesome details. His partner later joined the Branch Davidians, and believe it or not, his last name was Branch. So, Branch from the Branch Davidians. He left the compound before the fire, but was arrested for being one of the shooters on the day of the raid. He has since been released from prison. If you guys don't remember, David Koresh said he was the second coming. I heard him play guitar recently. He's actually pretty good. And he wrote a song, something like Darkness into Light. And it was pretty good. Like, it's just like a musician who's just like, I'm God. Like, no, you're not, dude. You're a decent musician. Guitar is you know, but his voice was actually pretty solid. Like, let me see. You guys want to hear him real quick? Let's see if we can find David Koresh singing. Where are we? I think I can get in from here. Yeah. All right. Check this out. It's not terrible, like I said.
A great way to package your products. And with Sticker Mule, ordering terrible. Custom poly mailers has...
Listen. Nice, right? Darkness in the night. That's got like some weird... you know he's a fan of? What's that English band? There's that English band that sang just like that. They have that song that goes the... it's Morrissey, right? It's like a Morrissey vibe. He's got a Morrissey vibe going. That's David Koresh right there, guys. He may have been the son of God. I mean, I don't know. Pretty good voice. Singing like an angel. I'm just kidding. Not really. It's good. Not terrible. Alex Murdaugh, killer. When the whole Alex Murdaugh murders occurred, when the whole Alex Murdaugh... I don't know, this is someone speaking. Clearly they're from some backwoods. Like, when the whole... Okay, I think they're going... When the whole Alex Murdaugh murders occurred here in South Carolina, everyone was shocked. You know, turns out my stepsister was banging it out with Paul, and she's friends with him. You know, they were doing it in the back of the pickup. And the son was also killed. You know, not while they were doing it in the truck. This was after. He was at her birthday party just a few months before. Apparently, the FBI even called the circle of friends asking questions about Alex. Do you guys know about that one? Yeah, I bet you didn't. Now you know. Murdaugh. Murdaugh. Murdaugh? How do you even say that name? Like, I hate it. I hate that name so much. Because it's like, is it Murdaugh? Is it Murdaugh? Is it Murdaugh? Like, what are we talking about with that dumb name? You're a murderer, indeed. You murdered the English language and vocabulary for History of Time. My name's Alex Murdaugh. What is it? Is it How do you finish out in that GH over there? We laugh. Murdaff. It's Murdaff. Some people are wondering, do we do Murdaw? Do we do Murdog? Do we do Murdoch? No, it's Murdaff. Because it's like laugh, but Murd in the front. Murdlaff. Murdaff. You guys didn't know it, but I just cleared it up for you. That's my Latin, you know, experience. You know, when you speak Latin fluently, and you see a Murdaff on the screen, and everybody's trying to figure out still, is it Murdaw? Is it Murdoch? Murdog? Nope. It's Murdaff. Sometimes you need to have a linguistic expert show up and let you know, inform you, you know? Guys, I'm proud and I'm happy to be that guy, you know, to share the Murdaff with you. So anyway, Murdaff in prison still today. Killed his son, killed his wife, you know? He's like a super rich dude. Like, how much money was Alex Murdaff worth? Let's see. Alex Murdaff. Good old Murdaff, you know? I mean, sometimes you want to just talk to Murdaff and get a good laugh from Murdaff. And, you know, you'll get him on the line in prison, and he's just like a bit of a jerk. Honestly, he's a bit of a jerk. Alex Murdaff was worth, as of 2023, stands at $2 million. In 2022, it was estimated at $1.8 million. But they had like all this land, so how much? I thought it was worth more than that. Buster, oh, that's Buster Murdaff. Guys, Buster Murdaff is the son, I think, right? How did Alex Murdaff do financially? Murdaff stole more than $12 million over a decade. What the freaking hell? This guy's a thief and a murderer? Wow, what a winner. Murdaff, murders and mysteries timeline. Key events in South Carolina family scandals and deaths. Waters said Tuesday that Murdaff stole more than $12 million over a decade. And then he murdered his wife and his kid, too. That was, you know, the second part of it. But the first part, he's a thieving motherfucker, you know? And he's in Hampton County Law. He was at the Hampton County Law Firm. Murdaff, sentenced to 27 years in prison for financial crimes. Where is the murder crimes? What are we talking about here, Joanne? Joanne! Can you please keep the wheeze down back there? You know, Joanne, when I'm here and I'm doing the news and you're back there, you're dropping them. You know, you're wheezing. You're doing a dropper. Joanne, oh, what did you eat? Joanne, that's disgusting. Piggish, really. Murdaff. Guys, if you've not looked up Murdaff yet, I just did the work for you. You don't have to look him up anymore. We did that here in Mark Inspire Show. So, have you crossed paths with Murdaff? South Carolina. Good old Murdaff. He's always up for a good laugh, you know. Burke Ramsey. Victim John Benet Ramsey's brother. What? What? Burke Ramsey killed his sister? Is that what went down? I never knew that. I always thought it was like maybe the parents or some scumbag guy who was like one of the judges at, you know, one of her like beauty pageant events. Hold on a minute. I've got breaking news here. Mark Inspires News. Brother of John Benet Ramsey. Murderer. Charged. Let's see. Burke Ramsey. Victim, John Benet Ramsey's brother. Wait, was he killed too? I don't know what's going on here, guys. I work at Pilates Studio, and a lot of older people come in and stay in shape because it's a low-impact form of exercise. Recently, an older man, I'll call him Eric, came in and was talking about his son. Eric ended up telling me that when his son was in college, he was best friends with the brother of John Benet Ramsey, Burke Ramsey. The son and Burke were close, so that Burke moved to the same city as his son after graduating. And Eric even helped Burke find a job. What the freaking hell does that have to do with anything? You're friends with the brother of someone that was murdered? How is that? That I don't understand. Illinois is calling. I think that that's probably a spam call. We get a lot of spam calls. You guys probably do too. It's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. So, okay. This guy, his freak out story is that he was best friends with John Benet Ramsey's brother, who wasn't the murderer, and he helped him find a job. Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, what a harrowing tale. Ted Bundy. This one's a good one. Ted Bundy in the late 70s was on a killing spree. I was a little kid playing in the same house that had played in 20 years earlier. We found out recently that my grandparents bought their house in Tacoma, Washington, from Ted's great uncle Jack. Ted and Jack were very close. He was kind of a mentor and father figure. You know, taught him how to murder, you know. And Ted spent a lot of time at his house when he was young, sharpening the knives. Still creeped out by it, you know. My Uncle Ted. I mean, Jack. I used to call him Uncle Ted, though, because when he came, he had those eyes right there. You see him? Looks like a sane individual. Ted Bundy. So there's another story about Ted Bundy you may not have heard, but I think it's Kurt Russell was staying in the woods. I want to say this is like a story I heard. He's in the woods, bunch of friends, drinking beers, barbecuing, etc., and they're camping. And Ted Bundy breaks out of prison. And this is crazy because Kurt Russell says, or I think it's Kurt Russell, that he goes back to grab, he forgot his beer, he goes back, turn around, the beer's gone, and his food's gone. He put his food and the beer down, he walked away to go to the bathroom or something, he comes back, and the food's gone. And so Ted Bundy later is recalling how he had broken out of prison, and he managed, the way he was able to survive is he stole someone's food from a camp, close by campsite. And they realized that he would have murdered them if he ran into Kurt Russell, like face to face. Close encounters right there. Number 9, John Taylor, convicted killer. Also a heck of a wide receiver for the 49ers back in the day. Dre Day, how are you, my friend? Thank you so much for giving the love. I appreciate you. We are on YouTube if you want to head over and be a part of the green screen event. You see this story as I scroll through it. John Taylor. He caught one up the middle from Joe Montana. And Steve Young, Super Bowl. Now he's a murderer. Let's see. Mom and the girl I went to school with dated John Taylor after the 49ers. He turned out to be a killer and sex offender. You know, didn't know about that when he was wearing number 82 for the Niners. Why do I remember all these details from like 30 years ago? John Taylor, he played when I was like 12. John Taylor played football when I was like 12 years old, maybe 9. Like I was a kid and I'm recalling details. He was number 82, played for the 49ers. And I remember him catching the ball. He was a great wide receiver. Like everybody liked Jerry Rice, but John Taylor was ridiculous. I used to think to myself, I think John Taylor's better than Jerry Rice. But he was always like the number 2. He never got a chance to be the guy. But that guy was awesome. Became a murderer, though, just in case you're wondering. Around the time, though, Leanne Tiernan went missing, he attended a parents' evening with my friend's mother. I don't remember much, but my mom thought he was a creep. You know, good wide receiver, though. Remember that. Luke Magnotta. You guys know about him? Convicted killer. My dance teacher went to school with Luca Magnotta, who we know from the Netflix series Don't With the Cats, hunting an internet killer. He used to think he was meant to be famous, but I don't think this is how he thought it would go down. No. Luca Magnotta is a convicted killer whose violent murder of student Juan Lin, whose body has been, Georgia. You know, I feel like everything is a spam call in 2024. You know? Yeah, see? Spam call. How you guys doing out there? Are you enjoying the news today? Hopefully you are. Let's see if we can just finish off the stories. Why do I have... Thank you. Just can't stand it when I see like huge lines in there, you know? This is a green screen show. We need to have it clean. The green clean show. Luca Magnotta, I guess he's a murderer. You guys know about Richard Ramirez? I think they called him the Night Stalker, is that right? Yeah. Richard Ramirez, look at the friggin' gaze on that guy. Who's getting his number? You getting his number? You're asking him out, right? Hey, cutie, what are you doing? I love your cheekbones and the eyes. Again with the eyes, you know? Murderer. Richard Ramirez. Serial killer, as you know. Luckily, we didn't meet him, but I was about 6 months old You wouldn't have known anyway if you met him. You were 6 months old. Who said this? I was about 6 months old when the Night Stalker attacked someone near our home in Orange County, California. This is such a vague, like, someone near our home. So what, like, he killed how many people in total? You could find a million people in each section, around where he killed each person. Be like, he killed someone near my home. I was so nervous. These dummies. My parents and I were asleep in the living room with a baseball bat until he was caught. My dad's best client lived a few doors down from another one of the victims. Too so scary. That's my belly. I'm growling. I'm hungry. I'm a hungry mofo right now. Casey Anthony, mother of victim Kaylee Anthony. I live in Orlando and crossed paths with Casey Anthony several times in various circles. Thankfully, I drifted away from the group and, you know, before the death of her daughter, but it still creeps me out when I think about it, you know. She was trying to talk to me about my kids, about child rearing, and I was like, I almost listened, you know. Drew Peterson, killer. You guys remember him. I live 10 minutes away from Drew Peterson. Again, 10 minutes away. Do you know how far that is? Just imagine for yourself that you're getting in your car right now and you're driving for 10 minutes and think about how far you were away from your home. That's what this idiot is. Oh my goodness, you're 10 minutes away when Drew Peterson did it. Stupid idiots. I was in seventh grade when his wife Stacy went missing and he was being investigated for her disappearance and then for his third wife's death. We'd come to school each Monday and talk about where we'd seen him out and about since he was a super cocky, you know, he was super cocky and thought he'd get away with it because he was a cop. We'd see him at McDonald's, Best Buy, etc. in Bolingbrook, Illinois. Luckily, he was convicted of his third wife's murder, but to this day, Stacy is yet to be found. She's not going to be found. Like, he murdered her. She's hiding somewhere. She's afraid that he's going to break out of prison to come after her again as, like, her, you know, retribution. Gosh almighty. This is a scumbag piece of garbage, this Drew Peterson. That's him, right? Yeah. Ex-police sergeant. Scumbag. You know, when he's a super cocky scumbag like that, look at him. Look at the look in his eyes. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get away with it. I'm a murderer. Triple murderer. Gosh almighty, need some food in the belly. John Wayne Gacy. One of my best friends was dating a guy in college, in high school. They really liked each other. He suddenly disappeared from her life. And she found out years later he was a victim of John Wayne Gacy. So that's so terrible. My best friend in high school is dating this guy, you know, and then like, he disappeared. It was weird. She's like, I wonder what I did. Did I do something wrong? He won't call me back. He's ghosting me. No, he's a ghost. Murdered by John Wayne Gacy. I don't know if you know John Wayne Gacy. Murdered him, the guy. He was a sweet guy. It's kind of his MO. John Wayne Gacy only went for sweet guys. He was the killer clown. If your friend didn't like clowns, you know, he'd still be alive. But when he saw John Wayne Gacy sitting there in the clown outfit, and your friend was like, oh, can I take a photo with you? I love clowns. That was your friend's doing, really, you know. It's actually very sad that this piece of garbage here was preying on people as a clown. He is a clown. Killer clown. Joseph James D'Angelo. You guys know about JD? We call him JD. J. D'Angelo. We just kind of shorten it. JD. We lived this 3 streets away from Joseph James D'Angelo, known as the Golden State Killer. For many years, we didn't even know it. My daughter babysat for a neighbor who lived 3 houses down from him. My 2 sons and my daughter used to ride their bikes by his house every day. He also sat, known as the grumpy old man, yelling at neighborhood kids to get off his sidewalk or get off his property. Before he was caught, he was able, not confused, and walking. Not in a wheelchair. My little sister worked at the horse supply near Sacramento, and the Golden State Killer would regularly come in with his daughter and granddaughter. Apparently, all the workers thought something was off with the family, and he seemed to be a bit overbearing, you know, murderer and all. But when it came out who he really was, it was not a shock, you know, to the community that he was living such a normal life after everything he had done, or it was a shock, apparently. The stomach is growling. I really got to eat something before I go on the air. You know, it's just better. It's just better for all. Jennifer Cave, murder victim. I knew Jennifer when I was in Austin. I had a sociology teacher at Austin Community College. We would talk before and after class, and I remember I once had to give a presentation. And she was sitting at her desk listening and smiling and silently encouraging me. Everyone always says those who died tragically... everyone always says those who died tragically. She was a good person. With Jennifer, it was true. We weren't best of buds or anything, but I didn't know her too long, and from what I knew, she was truly a sweet person. Murdered by somebody. I don't even know how. It doesn't even say who murdered her. It's terrible. I think we got enough of these scumbag murderers, guys. Look at this. I'm cool with your dumb... Like, is that a movie camera that you turn into a gun? Where you're just, like, waiting to go, like, action! And you shoot, you know? What is she doing? Tell me. That looks like a movie camera. Or straight out of Star Wars. She's got a Star Wars gun there. That's a Star Wars gun. Trish, it's true. Trish says, I probably wouldn't read these stories, but it's fun when Mark reads them. Yeah, I try my best to make them funny for you, because these people are out of their minds. There was a couple of good comedy moments there. Let me go back and see if I can remember what funny ones were, so I can cut them out later. The Golden State Killer, nah. Killer Clown, eh. Scumbag, John Wayne Gacy, maybe. Drew Peterson. This guy with the eyes. Yeah. Oh, look, I put a pentagram on my hand because I like you. That's what he does when he wants to meet people. Imagine you show up, like you're just there at the deli and you're getting a sandwich, right? You're like, excuse me, sir, can I have a chicken salad on rye? Throw a little crispy bacon on there. You turn around, Richard Ramirez is sitting there and he's just like, he's got the hand out. He's like this. He's like, do you want to hang out? And he's doing, this is his let's be friends move. That's his move. Some people have like a move, you know, when they like they make the move. This is Ramirez's move. And he does one of these with the eyes, the cat eyes. And then he pushes up the cheekbones a little more. You know, he's bringing them in. You guys think that he went and he like stole these people off the street and he attacked them? No, he went like this. And they were like, can we hang out with you? We love your pentagram hand. You know, I know you were into it. You were like, I think I want to hang out with Richard Ramirez in his pentagram hand. Oh, goodness, you know. Look at me. What a scumbag, you know. He was doing it. He burned that one in. He wanted to make sure he always had it ready to make friends. Hey, what's up, buddy? Oh, you want to be friends? I'm down. No, I'm down. I'll come and hang out with you. Could you do a pentagram thing on my hand, too? Like, what do I do? Do you have, like, a brander? Like, we could brand it into my hand. Or you have to knife it? Like, what are we doing here? Because I want to do the same thing. I want to be just like you. I was thinking about it. I'm like, how do I make friends? I am a guy who doesn't have a social ability to interact and create conversation. So what do I need to... What's that? Oh, you want me to just put a pentagram on my hand and go like this? Whenever I meet people, and then when they see the pentagram, they know that means like we have a bond, a blood bond. What? We have to blood oath it? Oh. Ramirez says you gotta also, once you become friends, you blood oath it. You put a cut into one of the lines of the pentagram on your hand, and then you do like a high five, you know? Growling stomach. I'm starving, Ramirez! You know? You're there, killing! Pentagram in it! I'm hungry! Gosh almighty, you know? That's the problem. This guy is a stupid pentagram. There was the John Taylor one. That was the one I liked. Just because, you know, he's... Oh, and then Murdaff. Guys, remember when Murdaff did it? Hold on, I have to quickly... we have a showing requested. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it, Julie. Julia. I gave Julia the okay to go and show the property. But I'm going to be there for it. You know? Guys, by the way, been doing the vertical lives... David Koresh style, by the way. Remember this? Gosh almighty. But I've been doing the vertical lives. This lady here, gosh, I think she starred. This is the murderer from The Sting. If you ever saw The Sting before, Robert Redford, you're watching it, right? You know, this lady comes with the gun trying to shoot Robert Redford at the end. The gangster comes out and pops her one, you know? And then he's able to take down Lonigan, Doyle Lonigan. You guys, you should watch that movie. It's a ridiculously awesome movie. Lonigan, everybody wants to. hang out with Lon again with those stupid shoulders he's got. Hi, God, my, you know? Oh, goodness. She's a heck of a murderer. In the movie as well, until she gets murdered back. Anyway, that's what we have for this people who cross paths with murderers and lived to talk about it. I don't know if there's anything funny there. We'll see. We'll maybe cut it out for you. Let's see, anything else here? Dear Abby, I was ghosted by a man who asked me to move in with him. I'm furious after finding out the reason why. Should we read? Nah, I don't think that one got me. It almost did. It almost got me reading it. But I'm like, meh. Okay, I have to say this just because, I mean, it's not trying to be political, but it is kind of interesting. Donald J. Trump booed for bringing, dropping $399 gold sneakers, my gold sneakers, you're winning big league. Guys, apparently he's got sneakers that you could buy now. They're gold. You could put them right next to your gold toilet. Sneaker con, they were dropped. He got booed, apparently. Interesting. 17 actors who had their children in TV shows and movies, but it's not super obvious. Stupid, I really don't care.
Ah, you don't look like your dad. Let's do a whole piece of news on it.
No, thank you. I'm not interested in that one. People are sharing unwritten rules of life, and too many people don't know, and I agree with all of these. Let's see. Let's see what they are. Okay. Whether we openly talk about them or not, we follow some sort of unspoken rules. The Reddit thread is filled with people sharing those rules, and here are some of them. Curious to see what you think. Don't stand on opposite sides of a hallway to have a conversation, thus making people cut between you. Instead, stand on the same side so people can easily pass. I didn't even think about that one. How often am I sitting in the hallway talking to people?
You know, I'll stand on this wall. You stand on that wall.
When your roommate, partner, spouse, or just child got home and is still taking off their shoes, putting their keys away, etc., do not greet them with a to-do request or some sort of reminder. It's a universally shitty feeling to be greeted by that. So basically, when you're coming home, taking the keys, putting them in your pocket, you know, taking your shoes off, you get a litany of, hey, make sure you do this, take out the garbage, what are you doing? Why is it trash? There, that ain't right. I get it. You having a bad day doesn't mean that you have to ruin other people's day. True. That one's very true, guys. In fact, I'd say when you're feeling like crap, sometimes you have to try to latch onto someone who's not in order to get yourself out of that funk. So, I found that dividing bad days into quarters like a sports game helps you keep things in perspective. I can have a bad quarter or even two quarters without a fully bad day. It's actually not a bad way of thinking about it, like breaking your day into fours. So it's like, my first period was garbage. Second period, I scored a couple points. You know, third period, I took a nap. Fourth period, I came out there and we won the game. You know, kind of a cool idea. Because it is a roller coaster. You could consider the four quarters as an up and down, you know, and that's accurate. Be mindful on sidewalks and don't walk two or more abreast, making it difficult for faster walkers to pace. I think that's saying don't push. If you're walking with someone, don't push them. I don't know. If you open something, close it. Toilet? Your mouth? Your hiney butt. Let people get off the elevator, bus, whatever, before you shove your way on. That's a universal, you know, come on, get the fuck off. I gotta go. I'm on my way up. You're on your way out. Get the fuck out so I can get on and go. You know, that's a typical one. You guys, we all do that one, right? I want to say hi to everybody in the chat. Hope you're doing well. I'll be over in a split second to run through and say hello to each and every one of you. I'm just going to get through the rest of these real quick because I think they're interesting. Most of our learning comes through painful mistakes, making painful mistakes. This is so true. I mean, we talk about this a lot on the show, that in order to succeed at anything in life, you have to be willing to fail over and over until you're successful. It's not like, oh, I'll fail 5 times and then I'll be successful, or I'll fail 6 times then I'll be successful, or 1 time and be successful. You fail every time until you're successful. But that is success. Success is driving through the failure and realizing you're better than the failure and that you still have an opportunity that has not been, you know, connected with yet. And today is a whole new day. And so it's really, everything's about perspective and understanding yesterday's failure is just prepare you for success today. So keep that in mind. Learning to read the room is one of the most important and probably underrated social skills to have in your locker. If you're leading a conversation and the other people start to look away, act slightly distracted, or interject with some different topics, take a hint and change the subject. Not everyone is as interested as you are in favorite topics. It doesn't mean you're boring necessarily, but this isn't the right audience for whatever you're talking about right now. Now, I'm consistently blown away by the number of grown adults, even in their 30s and 40s, who haven't learned this yet and just yammer on, obviously. Number 10, secure your own oxygen mask before helping others. Seriously, y'all, take this bit of advice and carry it wherever you go. You can be the most empathetic, careful, caring, and helpful person, but even if that's your one goal, by neglecting yourself, you won't be the best you can be for others. Sort out the mess in your own life, don't carry loads you can't, and everything else will be so much simpler. That was You Naturage. Number 11, wipe down the damn sink when you're done. How annoying is it when you go up to a sink to brush teeth, to do whatever, and your whole, like this nether region is all wet now because there was someone didn't wipe down the sink afterwards. I like that one, Funky Bacon Burger. That's a good one, number 11. Number 11 should have been number one. Wipe down the freaking sink. I got water all over my nether region now. It's like, and then you have to wait for that to dry? Like, I'm doing one of these to dry it off and wiping down my belly? What happened there, buddy? What happened here? Did you pee all over your shirt from up? Well, you had like a thing? You woke up with whatever. You know what I'm saying. Guys, wipe down the freaking sink, okay? If you want to listen to something in public, use your effing headphones, this guy said. So true. You don't want to be the boombox guy, John Cusacking it. You show up on the bus, it's on your shoulder, you got the cool glasses on, you're Coolio, and you're listening to like your favorite song, which happens to be like Punjabi rock. Like, we're like, what the? This guy came out with the cool glasses, he's listening to Punjabi rock? You couldn't put on like U2? You couldn't put on Stevie Wonder? You know, something would be better than you showing up and doing the Punjabi rock, you know? The sitar? You're pulling the sitar out on the bus. I'm sorry, we're in Oklahoma. We don't listen to sitar here, okay? Head back out with your dumb boombox, John Cusack. You know, sometimes you just get sidetracked by Cusack with his stupid headphone. You know, his headphone is just a big boombox. This is my headphones. You're listening to Punjabi rock a little too hard, okay? Number 13, greeting your coworkers when you arrive at work. It's basic manners. I know a lot of people don't follow that, but say hello to the people you see, okay? It means the world to them sometimes. You know, I think one of the most mind-opening moments is when you realize how many people are in this world and everybody's got their own life. They're all going through this life thinking that they're the most important thing because they are. It's the only thing in their life that continues daily is them. And they have all these other things around them, people who brought them into this world, family members, et cetera, jobs, bills, et cetera. But at the end of it, there's such a focus on self because you got to survive. And then you have 8 billion people doing the same thing. And, you know, they're so focused is like, okay, I have this, I have that. But you're walking by somebody who could really just maybe use a hello today from a coworker. And you don't know what's going on in their life. And this goes back to one of the earlier ones with don't bring your day into someone else's day. Like, somehow rise above whatever's going on in your own life in order to lift people up. That's what this show is about, is lifting people up. And I think that, you know, we have to start realizing it's the simple acts. Hey, a smile. How you doing? How was your weekend? Good to see you, Thomas. See you later. I mean, simple stuff, guys. Give a little wave of acknowledgement when someone lets you merge or join the stream of traffic. This is number 14. Flash your lights if there are cops on the road. Or pat the top of your helmet if you're doing a moto. I didn't realize that was a move, that was how you tell people there's cops. Do you guys do the flasheroo? It's something that weirds me out. I do it, but it weirds me out because I've heard of people get pulled over before for doing the flasheroo, warning people ahead. I grew up that way, like I was born doing the flasheroo. But sometimes you're looking around to make sure there's no cop also there watching you do the flasheroo, and then you get pulled over. And it's like, why is that? Why can't you warn people? You know, I started thinking, like, why can't you warn people? Why is it illegal to warn people? Is it illegal to warn people? You can get a ticket. See, that's what I'm wondering. Nightwood says you can get a ticket if you do that. What is the infraction That's what I want to know. What is the, let's look that up real quick. What is the infraction for flashing? Maybe it's impeding an investigation or something like that. You know, they come up with all kinds of crap. What is the infraction for flashing a car? There is a cop hiding. Let's see what this says. This is where we find out what's happening. Is it illegal to signal that a cop is ahead? The practice common among us of flashing headlights to alert other drivers to an oncoming patrol car has been claimed as a form of expression protected under the free speech clause of the First Amendment. Guys, we can do it! Free speech, free speech! Now, you could theoretically get targeted by the police officer who's like, I don't like you because you gave them the heads up. But this is January 10th, so just last month. The practice common among motorists of flashing headlights to alert other drivers to an oncoming or upcoming patrol car has been claimed as a form of expression protected under the free speech clause of the First Amendment. Thus far, courts have generally interpreted the practice as protected free speech. Let's see if there's anything else here I could find. Can a cop pull you over for flashing your lights? Police can pull you over for anything, but that didn't mean they're right. Flashing your lights to convey a message is protected under the First Amendment. So that was back in 2018. So I've just been misinformed this whole time, guys. I guess we're good. So, see, we just came to like a little conclusion here. And this is good. We all know we can flash the hell out of people now. Do it. Not like with your donger. I'm talking about like on the road. You're on the road and they're on the road. And you're letting them know so they don't get a ticket. That's a good guy. You're a good guy. There we go. The unwritten rules. Let's get back into it. Your lack of preparation does not equal someone else's emergency. That's a good one, too. You know, you think about it. People are just like frustrated because they're like, I got to go. I got a thing to do. Like, that's on you, dude. You should have left 5 minutes earlier. Oh, goodness. So, guys, that's what we have here with that unwritten rules deal. I think that's basically it for the news, right? I mean, like, that's 45 minutes of news. I'm pretty sure that's enough news. Like, what? How much news do we really got to do here in order to keep you entertained? I think I'm kind of overdoing the news at this point. We've done enough of it. U.S. built an oceanfront home in the Bahamas, then a hurricane hit. We'll do that one tomorrow. Was there anything else here I wanted to share with you? I did that one yesterday about the elder care, which was kind of crazy. Anyway, I guess, reminded me of S-Coop. I'm not sure where this is in Minnesota, but city identifies two officers, one paramedic killed in Burnsville, Minnesota, suspect also dead. So there's a guy who's held like 7 kids in his house, and it was like an 8-hour standoff, and I guess they killed him at the end. I'm not really sure exactly, but that's what's going on in the news today, guys. And as Trish said, I do my best to try to keep this light for you. You know, we're doing the news. Yes, it's going on. The news is never positive. Like, I haven't found a news channel yet that's positive. It's all doom and gloom. It's all the world is coming to an end tomorrow. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, these stories are all engineered that way. They're positioned that way to create fear. Like, so can we somehow just create some comedy within that? Make fun of all these silly things that are going on in the world? Get the information, but to get it in a way that's palatable, as Trish said. Yeah, we're talking about serial killers and murderers and these close encounters with people, but we can find comedy within it, you know? And that's what I think we intend to do, or I intend to do here on a daily. So I appreciate you guys being here with me. Remember, I'll be back later on. We have a show at night as well. And then I think every day I'm gonna try to do this, but midday I'm gonna do a vertical show as well, which should probably just be a few minutes of chatting. I may be in the car or whatever, making phone calls. Not really sure how it's going to go yet, but I want to start doing the vertical thing because the way it's proposed to me on my channel when I look at it, it says they'll open you up to new people because the vertical goes into the shorts feed, and the shorts feed does reach different people. So I'm going to try to take advantage of that and see if we can pick up some new family members to join us while we're here on a daily. And talk about different things. I may do different things. Like, I was thinking about doing a whole thing of how many impressions can I do? And just That will be the vertical, and you guys can ask me to do different voices or whatever, but silly little things, little updates, maybe walking the streets, interviewing people, whatever. I'm going to just try to do anything and everything at this point with this vertical option. We never had it before on YouTube, so you always had to go in there and do the widescreen. So we'll see how that goes, and if you're enjoying those, let me know, leave a comment. Is that cool? S-Coop says she likes the idea. So I'm going to try to see if I can stick with some of these new concepts and just keep driving with them, you know? Let me see who's here with us. I want to make sure I say good afternoon to you. Remember, this is just the beginning. Every day, this is just the start. Just a little level up before we go back into the day. Cheryl Niles, so good to see you, Cheryl. Helen Gale Townsend is here. Hilly Billy in the house. That's my brother, guys. Please subscribe to Hilly. Nightwind, you're awesome, Nightwind. Renee Woods, you rock. S. Coop, you are amazing. Trish Killian, you are phenomenal. And I'm hoping that you rock out to that tune. Did you guys hear the song from last night? Was it last night or two nights ago? It was two nights ago. I told you, everything blurs together here. When you do it for 1876 days in a row, it's a little crazy. We have Liberty and Freedom. You are awesome. Thank you so much for being here, guys. I will be back later when we rock it out. It's going to be some more music and some comedy. But join me for the vertical if you can. Make sure you have all the notifications turned on for this channel. That is something I think you could do pretty easily. Just hit that little bell and make sure it's turned to on. And I will be back with that vertical show. And those are like immediate, so it doesn't give you a half hour of warning. It's just like, marks on. S-Coop, you rock. Robert Page, my man, so good to see you. Nightwind, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun this morning. I really think every morning we have so much fun. If you guys like this news read, just go and watch any morning feed for the last 2 weeks. I've been doing this like, same thing. We're scrolling the news and so many funny stories. I don't get to drop them all. I've been dropping some, like Herkel Durkel's coming out in a couple hours. That was from last week. All the stuff you see, it was live on the show. I just had dropping them as actual specific news stories after the fact. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being here. And come back later when we do it again. Denise, so good to see you. Denise is Roma TVB. Awesome having you here. I hope to see you later on. Where's my outro, Joanne? Joanne, can you please keep the wheeze down back there? You got to go away. See that? Trish was unsubscribed. How about that? Yes. Got my coffee right here. I will see you guys later. Wish me luck going out to sell some real estate. I'll be back midday. You got to go away. Oh my.